The opinions and suggestions expressed on the following program are solely those of the participants and are not necessarily endorsed by KRMG, Cox Media Group Incorporated, or the program sponsors. It's an Ask the Experts weekend on News 102.3 KRMG. Welcome to Wheels with automotive experts from Cecil & Sons Discount Tires in Sand Springs and Tulsa Gas Technologies, your CNG expert, here to answer your questions about your car, truck, or SUV. To join the program, call 918-460-KRMG. That's 918-460-5764. Or you can text your questions to 95920. The Ask the Experts weekend rolls on with Wheels with Lloyd Bolin, Troy Cox, Tom Sewell, and the host of Wheels, Denver Fox.
So I thought winter was supposed to be the time when fuel prices go down. What happened here? We'll kind of explore that on this edition of Wheels. Good morning and welcome in. It is 7:07. I'm Denver Fox, and man, the band's back together here. We got all the gang here, our technical experts here on the automobiles, and Troy Cox with Cecil & Son Discount Tires. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Denver.
And have you had any autonomous cars drive in wanting service or anything? Do they?
No, but it keeps getting closer and closer. It looks like the major cities are going to be the first places to let those things start rolling about. And, you know, there was a big seminar last week where a lot of industry muckamucks got together.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're anticipating that while rural and more suburban areas, if you will, probably are still decades away from autonomous cars, they're thinking 5-10 years tops that we'll see major metropolises either taxing heavily manned drivers versus autonomous cars, are not allowing anything but autonomous cars to drive through there. And it'll all be rideshare type, you know, flag down the robocab mm-hmm. and go from point A to point B in places like Los Angeles and New York. And, you know, that just kind of going along with what I read last week, the first space shuttle had 500,000 lines of code, and Ford's anticipating their average lines of code in their 2020 model year would be 1 million lines of code in those cars and trucks. Mm-hmm. So we've got robocabs that are going to be running 1 million plus lines of code. And I'm scratching my head going, oh, yeah, nothing could go wrong there.
You know, they kind of equate this to back in the days when we had the horse and carriage and cars began to take over the roads, and cars and horses sort of shared the road for a little while, but it didn't take very long before automobiles were dominant and the horses kind of went on the side roads. And like you said, in the rural areas, and that may be the same evolution that we see here with autonomous cars.
Well, that's exactly the conclusion that they had drawn at this seminar, or a big conclave, whatever you want to call it, was, you know, four more rural areas, four off major highways that manned vehicles in terms of man or woman driven cars would still be probably more common, just as, you know, as we made that transition in the teens and 20s and 30s, you still saw horses and buggies off on country roads, side roads, but not on major thoroughfares. You know, we may well see that, but I think we have a lot of things to sort out in terms of privacy rights, in terms of travel rights, in terms of, you know, our inalienable rights to control where we go and when we go there.
There are those that predict that eventually the government will say humans can't drive cars. You won't have a driver's license to drive a car eventually.
Well, it's the classic, we're balancing safety, which is how they're going to cloak this, although there are a lot of other considerations, versus, you know, individual rights.
But a lot of people just like to drive. Don't you just like to drive? Tom Sewell, Tulsa Gas Technology. Don't you just get the urge to, you know, besides driving a race car or something, just to maybe take a drive on in a nice car or a convertible or something where you're controlling it and everything?
Man, how do you tell an autonomous car to take me to the Talamina Drive?
Yeah.
And run me down through there, you know, and let me look at the deer and all that stuff. I just don't see me doing that.
Yeah, it just seems weird. I can't get ready for this. But
what about hand gestures and all that? I wonder how they're going to deal with all that in these autonomous cars.
Hand gestures.
Well, sometimes the drivers around you need some, you know, help. So you sometimes use your hands to
give them
direction or transmit data that they're lacking.
Using hand signals. I understand.
Hand signals.
I understand.
Well, you know, you turn left and turn right.
Of course, if the car is driving itself with a computer, you do have both hands, so that might be a plus.
Well, maybe, yeah.
Well, I honestly think they think these cars are going to all network together and communicate with each other while they're driving. And I just, you know, I have trouble keeping the computers in my office networked to think that they're going to network a Ford to a Chevrolet to a Toyota in traffic.
Yeah, and hundreds of thousands of cars all networked. That's, well, mind-boggling, isn't it? Hey, let's talk about gasoline for those of us that are driving right now. Saw another big jump in gasoline prices this week. Saw it jump up to $2.39. It's come back down to $2.32, $2.29 a gallon right now.
I didn't
even
see that.
Yeah, it jumped up a dime. It was, and oil has gone all over the place.
Yeah, it was over $66. And, when you start looking at a couple dollars, you're going to start looking for a dime coming up on that board at the Quick Trip pretty quick. You know, it just can't hold that. Their supply can't hold down that long.
Yeah. The average price of gas nationwide is up 24 cents from a year ago, about $2.54 a gallon, according to AAA. And the price has climbed really over the last average of 10 cents. Of course, we see it go up and down 10 cents on a weekly basis around here. But usually the winter weather leads to less driving and falling gasoline prices. And February has been some of the cheapest gas we usually see during the year.
You bet. But one thing we may be overlooking is the economy's doing better. A lot of people are using more fuel, and so a little bit of supply and demand may be kicking in just because there's so much economy going on right now.
And Bert brought up something a while ago that they said as soon as gasoline got up to these higher prices once again, all of our debt problems in Oklahoma would be taken care of. That was the problem with all of our money loss. And I don't hear anything about that. Yet.
Yeah, that's how it's supposed to happen.
Well, anyway. They think that $3 a gallon is going to be a little more widespread. Now, that's not in Oklahoma, but you certainly see it in California and some of the bigger metropolitan areas.
Well, they've been dealing with it in California. We have part of our group is in Paso Robles, and they've been over $3 for a long time out there.
Now, you're still, of course, with gasoline going up and down, natural gas stays the same all
it
the
is
time.
Still the same. We bought our gas in 2016. And we're still using that same gas we bought all the way through December of this year. And we've kind of got a lock on our price for 19 and 20, but I just haven't pulled the trigger on the final number. But it's going to be the same, basically the same at our pumps.
And it makes a big difference when you're trying to budget for a year, especially if you have a fleet of vehicles and they're all on CNG. And boy, I was traveling this past week and I saw a lot of CNG buses, a lot of CNG cabs, all in metro areas around. It is very, very predominant.
When you get a vehicle that's a tool that you use, it that's part of your daily thing, and fuel's one of the big line items for your cost of goods, why not set your price? You have the opportunity to do that for multiple years, and especially if you've got something that's in a pickup, and above. Wow, it's such a big burden to know every month this is what my fuel's going to be. And we can do it. And we've been able to do it for years.
What have you been, what's new in the world of natural gas? You've been hauling, transporting natural gas, I understand.
You bet. We have a fleet of semi-trailers full of natural gas, and Lebanon, Missouri has been having problems with one of the mains off of one of the interstate pipelines. So we've been running trailers back and forth, keeping gas in their pipelines from Tulsa. We have the biggest compressors even in that region. So we pull them back to Tulsa, fill them up, and turn around and head them back. And we last week we ran nonstop when it got down to -7 up there. And so we had a break for a few days, and it's going to be 20 up there tomorrow, so we're heading back in the morning.
And I don't hear any word about natural gas incurring any taxes from the state. At least I haven't heard that. They've talked about it for diesel and for regular gasoline. Don't they want to add 6 cents a gallon onto that? I don't think that's going to be very popular, but that's what they're proposing anyway.
That's what they're proposing, and so far they haven't extended that to alternative fuels. So we'll see. I want to be fair with everybody, but it is nice to have that little bit of holiday.
Oh, yeah. And it's going to be just make it much more in people's minds that this is a way to really save some money on fuel. Is when that gas gets up there, you can, with the compressed natural gas system, you don't want to use the gasoline. You just switch over and use natural
CNG,
gas.
Yeah. You know, when we're getting a little bit of a tax holiday on the end of the fuel, we're actually paying that on the front end, with production taxes and everything else. So the taxes still balance out. They're just paid in different places. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's a lot of people think about the tax they pay at the pump, and with natural gas, we're paying a little bit all the way across the system.
Well, they're saying that this the prices are probably at about the highest it's going to go right now, they think anyway. And they say, but it's going to stay about the same. Relief at the pump's not going to happen right away. And springtime maintenance, you know, we always hear about the refinery shutting down and all that time, and price goes up then, but that hadn't even come about yet. That's not even close to
happening. No, it's coming. I mean, they do a turnaround at these things usually once a year, and, it, you know, supply and demand makes everything go up a little bit. And that could be regional around our refinery or around our fuel dock, you know, where the price would monkey around a little bit. Maybe we wouldn't see it in Oklahoma City or vice versa.
And they were predicting here oil is unlikely to go much higher than about $65 a barrel. What did you say it was now?
66.
66. Okay.
They missed it.
Yeah. They kind of, they maybe need to reevaluate that a little bit.
They'll listen to the Wheel Show.
Yeah. We got a handle on this. Lloyd Boland's got a handle on it, too. He's the king of the crankshaft, the guru of the garage, and answering all your car questions for us here. He's the inventor of the PC 41 Plus headlamp restoration kit. Morning.
Good morning, Denver.
It's getting
good
warmer.
To have you back.
Yeah, thank you. It's good to be back. And it's a little warmer today, so this would be a day you could actually do some headlamp if you wanted to.
Yeah, temperatures are warm enough. You get above 60, you can do it. I wouldn't recommend the wind we've had.
That's true. But that makes it tough.
Oh, it's been horrible. My hair, it messed my hair up.
Yeah, I hate that when that happens.
Yeah.
Yeah. So have you seen any particular problems this week? Anything
well,
you're
dealing
with?
Well, I had one that reminded me of a tip to give, and we see it a lot. I just don't think about it. Like, for instance, we have someone come in, they say, my transmission's shifting hard. Well, you get in your car and we check it out. A lot of the time what we find is they got a busted motor mount.
Oh, really?
And when they take off, the motor will literally raise up, and then it'll drop back down, and they think it's the transmission. And it feels like the transmission. But the motor mounts now, and eventually, we see a lot of them on GM. They just break in two.
We used to have an old truck that did that all the time, an old farm truck. Yeah. And you could feel that engine bump up and down.
You always know what kind of driver they are when that happens.
Well, now could the engine do any damage?
Oh, yeah. When you push the gas, there's a tremendous amount of torque on that engine. Most of them have 3 and 4 mounts and torque struts and everything else just to hold them down.
And they just wear out, huh?
Yeah, they have oil-filled mounts now. And they do it it makes the motor, you know, more insulated. But when they break, you not only have a motor mount broke, you got oil going everywhere. It's an interesting thing the way they've done with motor mounts.
So, it is and, now.
The torque struts are a big part of it when you take off. But it'll feel like there's just a big lapse, like the transmission slipping, and all of a sudden, boom, it'll hit.
Yeah, because the engine's physically moving up and a little bit.
Yeah, actually, we've all seen them pick up 6 inches as much.
Wow.
That's a lot of movement.
That is a lot of movement, yeah.
I've seen dents in the hood of a vehicle because of the motor lifting up.
Really?
And they had no idea it was doing it. And there's no way you didn't know this was doing this.
Yeah, you'd have to feel it, even if you're not seeing it with the lid shut. Wow. All right, 720, if you have a question for us, we invite you to call us at 918-460-KRMG, 460-5764. Text us your questions at 95920. You're listening to Wheels on an Ask the Experts weekend on News 102.3 KRMG. You know, one of the most common questions we get here on Wheels is, what do I need to do to take care of my car so I don't have big repair bills? Well, fortunately, the answer is pretty simple. You just establish and follow a regular vehicle maintenance plan. And we got guys here like Cecil & Sons Discount Tires that can do maintenance on your vehicle, or fleet maintenance like Tom has at Tulsa Gas Technology. And really essential for protecting your automotive investment and maximizing the reliability and the safety of your car as well.
You bet. I mean, when you look at these vehicles, a typical big work truck we work on is 50,000 plus. And, you know, I baby that type of investment for me. So there's a lot of things going wrong with it. And then you got to, if you're a little bit of driver training also goes a long ways, and talk to them about, you know, taking care and loving that vehicle. It all works. It all helps.
Yeah. And, of course, one of the big things you do for folks is with commercial vehicles is get all the paperwork in line for them. And that can be confusing if you don't have all of the paraphernalia and all the paperwork that you need to properly transport commercial products, even across the state line or even within a particular radius of your home. If you get caught without some of that stuff, it's a big fine.
Absolutely. So one of the things we're trying to get worked out is we're going to have a small seminar at our shop to let people to understand really what's going on with this DOT above 10,001 GVW rating on your vehicle. And that's a combined rating of the truck and the trailer. So if you drive over 100 miles from your base, you're full-blown DOT, just like a semi-truck.
Wow.
And the state's cracking down on it. And so a lot of people are going to be in trouble, and they're going to act like they didn't know, but that the state don't care.
Yeah, you're like a CPA, Tom.
Oh, I feel
you
like.
You really are. people don't follow the rules, they go to the big house.
Well, I feel like sometimes we're the mediator between the DOT and the customer and trying to make the customer understand what they're looking for and how they're going to enforce the rules. One of the big things we're seeing is I'm in heavy in the racing community, and these guys pull their race vehicle to the races. What happens to the DOT now is considered that a commercial vehicle since they're racing for money. Or you get sponsors, or you write that investment off as your taxes, because you get 1099 from the racetrack. So there's a lot going on there, and that's actually a commercial operation. The same with a rodeo guy, the same with the professional fisherman, the same with anybody that uses that vehicle for commerce. And this, you know, the federal DOT has forced our state to start enforcing these rules.
So the rules have been there for quite a while.
A long time.
They've just now begun to enforce this, and people are kind
of
become
aware. The previous administration threatened to take a whole lot of money away from the state if they don't start enforcing federal DOT rules.
Wow. So people just pull on a bass boat even.
If you're going to a bass tournament that pays money, you're a commercial operation in the eyes of the DOT.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
And they stop you, and if you don't have all the paperwork you need, it could be thousands of dollars in fines.
Well, even if they don't stop you, when they're going to find out is if you have an accident with that vehicle and then the attorneys get involved, that's when they're really going to come down on you.
Wow. Wow. Amazing stuff. Anyway, give me more information about it on our wheels page at krmg.com. We get links to Tulsa Gas Technology and to Cecil & Sons Discount Tires, where you get some good rebates on Goodyear tires right now, don't you?
That's right. Right now, actually through March 31st, Goodyear's offering up to $80 on a select set of Goodyear tires. And if you use your Goodyear credit card, they will double that. So you can definitely get some serious rebates on Goodyear if you're in the market for those right now. We're in the last week of Monroe's rebate. They've basically re-upped their Shocktober rebate for December and January. Basically, if you buy a set, you get rebated on the least expensive unit. And, you know, that can save you $60, $80, $120, depending on the cost of the strut or shock units. So if you're having some ride issues or some controller tire wear issues, not a bad time to get that looked into.
Yeah, good savings right there at Cecil & Sons in Sand Springs and in Sepulpa. Now, our temperatures have moderated a little bit here in the last week or two, but we got some cold spells coming still, and you will see your tire pressure fluctuate a little bit, so you need to keep an eye on that as well.
Absolutely. If you bumped your tire pressure up in the single and low double-digit pressures of a few weeks ago, you may see them a little higher on these 50 and 60-degree days that we're having. Leave it alone. 3, 4, 5 pounds, as long as it doesn't exceed the maximum pressure printed on the side of the tire, is not going to hurt anything. And it's January, guys. We know from past history we're likely to get some really cold weather in February, possibly even March. So low tires are much more hazardous in terms of safety and much more impacted on wear than being a little overinflated.
News is next on KRMG. Good morning. It is 7:37. I'm Denver Fox, back with Wheels here. And, of course, we've talked about gasoline prices going up and up and up. And this may be a good time for you to explore the option of compressed natural gas as an alternative fuel for you. And, of course, Tulsa Gas Technology is Tulsa's only shop that offers strictly EPA-certified conversions. And, Tom, you do that for the Fords, for the GMs, for Chryslers, any of them that are EPA-certified, right?
You betcha. We got a pretty good list, and it's changing all the time. It changes so much now I can't even keep it in my head which ones are doing, but I just got a list of Fords from one of our – now we have three companies we can get the Ford systems from, and they're going all the way up to their big F-750s, that big, big truck.
Wow.
Yeah, like you'd see under a dump truck. So it's got a big wide option now.
And, of course, one of the big ones is the F-150, F-250s. Those are the more common ones, I guess, that people are having converted.
You bet. Those 250s, they're everywhere now. Just look at that on the tailgate. Look on the back right, and you'll see that blue diamond. Almost every time you cross Tulsa, you'll see them now.
Yeah, I point them out to my wife all the time. We're driving and say, hey, look, there's the CNG car right there.
You bet. So
you see them all the time. And there's plenty of CNG refueling stations all around. You build them, and you've got them all around the Green Country. They're all over the state, of course, but quite a few just for convenience right here in Tulsa.
Yeah, there's one under construction right now at Admiral and 129th. And out there by the Flying J.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That's going to be real convenient for I-44.
Yeah, absolutely. Anyway, get more information on the Wheels page at KRMG.com. By the way, we have podcasts now. We can you can listen to past shows on our Wheels page, too. Got those all.
How far back did they bring all the archives up, or did they start a line?
I think we started the first of the year, didn't we? Yeah, started here at, with the new year.
Cool.
We had the capability. It was a matter of getting it implemented, and I said, well, let's make it happen here. And so that was kind of a starting point for it. So, yeah, we'll have old shows that you can bring up and listen to on the Wheels page. All right, 7:39, we talk about recalls and stuff all the time, it seems like. A U.S. bankruptcy court judge in New York has thrown out a settlement agreement could have triggered a payment of $1 billion of General Motors stock to owners of cars with defective ignition switches. Now, this case is tied to GM's 2014 recall of 2.0 vehicles with defective ignition switches. It includes one that was linked to 124 deaths, they've linked it to. And a GM spokesman didn't comment on this ruling, of course, but GM has paid about $2.5 billion to settle other claims linked to this defective ignition switch, including $900 million payments to settle a criminal investigation by the U.S. Justice Department of Justice.
Yeah. Well, you got to love the way they fixed it. I mean, there's some level of responsibility when you see in service, and we've all seen it, someone come in that has like 37 keys and the whole key package weighs a pound and a half.
Yeah,
bouncing on your ignition. Yeah, you're going to wear that ignition out. You're going to damage it. But the base image or the base problem as finally came out was focus groups in the late 70s, 80s decided that or indicated to GM that it was too hard to turn. So they went to lighter springs. And, you know, that's what's letting them turn off. And if they're turned off, of course, you don't have airbags, which is where the deaths seem to be coming from. You know, the safety equipment's not working if the car's not powered up. On my wife's 12 GM, the fix we got was two split rings. So we put one split ring on the ignition and then a second split ring on the first split ring so that when it hangs, my knee doesn't hit the ignition as I'm getting out and turn the car off.
Now you're at peace with the universe.
Now I'm at peace with the universe. I'm just looking at this package going, this is my recall fix, really? You know, I could have gone down to the hardware store and done this for like a buck and a half. It probably didn't even cost them 20 cents buying them in bulk. But on one hand, you're going, really? And on the other hand, you're going, if it was this simple a fix, why didn't they just send them from the get-go?
Yeah, we replaced a lot of those before they ever done that. We didn't even know what was going on, but we just replaced them.
We just saw so many that were plain worn out. You know, you get these trucks in with 100, 150, 200,000 miles on them, and, you know, the key's wobbly in the ignition. The guy goes, yeah, you have to kind of woogie it around to get it. Technical term there, woogie it.
Woogie it around, yes.
You got to woogie it around to get it to start. Well, it's just plain worn out. It's bouncing up and down over our crappy Oklahoma roads. You know, that thing's getting yanked every second as it's bouncing up and down over those roads. And, you know, the pins and tumblers get worn. The springs that hold it in place get worn. And it's not working right. Well, ultimately, if it gets far enough that way, it can turn off.
I mean, we talked about this problem 2 or 3 years ago, didn't we?
Yeah.
This has been going on for a long time.
Well, we were talking about it before the recalls. But now we know that part of the issue was they lightened the springs up to make it easy to turn. And, you know, the lighter spring died quicker.
Yeah, I had one day that was, we sent them to the dealer as a recall. And I actually reached up and touched the key, just touched it, and it shut off instantly.
Wow.
I mean, it was a really deadly thing. If you can imagine driving down 169 and that happened,
Well, yeah, you lose power.
It'd be safer just to bail out of the car.
Yeah. Your power steering, you really are, and you don't know what's going on there for a moment. So that could be a really in dire straits there. And how does security on those? I mean, we see a lot of – they've really increased security as far as auto theft in the switch, and they've made it where you can't really go in and mess with it too much. I used to the – you know, they would show in the movies where the guy hits a couple of wires together and sparks, and he starts up the car.
Yeah, that doesn't happen.
You can't do that anymore, can you?
No.
The way you learn about those, and we've done it – I don't know if these guys have done it, but – you put a remote start system on a car, you will learn that they are protected. And it's unbelievable the things you have to do to get around that ignition.
Yeah, and there's so many relays and switches you got to make to start a vehicle now. Fuel pump relays and, you know, you got your foot on the brake relay.
Yeah,
you got your neutral relay.
Yeah.
You have all these things that have to interlock just to get the, you know, the starter to turn.
And the other thing, too, is when you turn that key on and off, it'll change codes each time you do it.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really complicated.
Well, I guess so.
Yeah.
All right, let's get some calls. We got lined up here at 918-460-KRMG. Bob is up first. Bob, good morning. You're on wheels. You got an F-150, huh?
I don't have one yet. I'm in the exploratory stage.
Okay.
Here's the question. Is there anything I can do on the buy side to make it cheaper or more economical to convert it to natural gas later?
There's probably nothing better. I'll let Tom address that, though.
Well, I was having headphone issues, so I didn't get it all. So repeat the very first part of that.
I can at the same time, the F-150 comes with, you can order the hardening kit or conversion kit.
Yeah, when you order any vehicle, you need to tell them when you're buying it that you're going to switch it to natural gas. And they, like the F-150, the 250s, they all have a alternative fuel ready package. And so it's got a little special software in it. The intake manifold's ready for us already. It's got the right valves in it. So always tell them that you're going to convert it to natural gas. And honestly, I'd like for you to call me first before I can talk to the dealer you're buying it from just to double check.
Okay. And does it matter which engine you buy since they got so many?
Yeah, it's going to be the V8 on the Ford F-150 and the V8 on the GM as well, not the EcoBoost.
Okay. And does that have a number like a blah, blah, 350?
Yeah.
The 5-0.
It's the 5-0, but there's what we call an engine family code number that I have to tell the dealer that they have to have on that engine from the EPA. And 99% of the time it's a standard buy, but I always make sure.
So you're thinking about doing this later instead of getting it factory ready for CNG. Is that right, Bob?
Well, from Ford, he has to do it that way.
I don't think the factory is ready.
Right,
already all the way.
Okay.
On the Fords, you order the package. I know when my brother bought his F-250, there was a package, a box you can check, you know, for alternative fuel ready. And I want to say the year or so back when he bought it, it was around $300. I mean, it was crazy cheap for what all you were getting. But it had the hardened valves and the mounting and everything preset so that a kit could put on it. But again, Ford doesn't ship them. And GM has stopped, as far as I know, stopped shipping them already factory converted.
Right. It's a ready kit now. And a lot of times what happens is they have to get all their EPA certifications, and they're lagging the model year of just a little bit. So sometimes it takes us January, about this time of the year, before we get, like right now, we're getting some of the F-150 stuff from 2017 model year. We should have got that in October. We're just getting it.
So let's say I had the truck, how long would it take to convert it?
Once we order the kit, and once I have the vehicle in my shop, I usually have it about 5 days. Sometimes it can take 3 weeks to get the kit in.
And the gas tank, does that matter which one you get, the big one or the little one?
Well, we only install the big one. You will hate the little one, and you will...
No, I meant the gas tank that comes with it.
Oh, get whatever one you're comfortable with, because it's going to... I always get the big one, but... And the same way with the gasoline, the CNG, I always put the biggest one on there I can get.
All right. Thank you very much for your help.
Thanks for your call, Bob. Appreciate it. Let's go to David now. David's got a 94 Lincoln Town Car. Hey, David. Good morning. David's not there. Okay. David's driving his car right now. He's Lincoln. So we'll get on the line. We'll talk to him. Well, let's go to Jimmy then. Jimmy's on the line. And Jimmy wants to talk about an F-150. You got some engine problems there, huh, Jimmy?
Yeah, I've got an OAF 150, I believe it's the 5.4 liter engine in this thing. And then I don't drive it that often, but when I've had to do it a few times when it gets super hot outside, engine's not reading hot, and it'll, when you let it idle, it'll just start running real rough at idle, just real bad rough. You can give it the gas and rev it up, and it'll kick out of it and everything, but every once in a while, it'll just start running real rough at idle. You know, I've only had it happen when it's real, real hot outside, but the engine's not hot.
Do you have any codes in it? Have you had it checked?
It's not, the check engine light's not on, so it's not, I guess, does it store codes even if the check engine light's not on?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You probably have a EGR problem or fuel mixture problem. If it's doing it when it gets that hot, because if your fuel mixture gets too lean, it will idle really rough, and sometimes it'll die. But the only way you'd find out would be to scan it when it's hot. You might go online and see if there's any bulletins out, but or call the dealer and ask them if there's a bulletin out on it. A lot of that stuff you won't get out there for 2 or 3 years.
That's an 08, he said.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's probably out there. Whatever's happening to it, it's probably happened before. So you should be able to have your mechanic, if you have one, have him check it and search it out.
But EGR or fuel mixture?
That's what it sounds like. But you should be able to scan it and pick it up if you have can catch it when it's doing it.
Okay, so, that's the thing. It doesn't do it very often. And how long after it does? You know, like I said, you just rev it up and it'll kick out of it and start working.
Yeah. It does do it again and the light maybe just momentarily comes on, if it does, it'll store some information. And we can go in and read what's called a freeze frame, and we can tell what happened when that happened.
Does it return when you, after you revved it up and let it back idle down, does the miss return?
Okay, sometimes it will, yeah.
Okay. What's the mileage on it?
Sometimes it will.
Yeah.
What's 120.
Well, also, you might run some cleaner through it.
And, or have the cleaner.
Or have the system clean. That could do wonders for it.
But you've already done the baseline maintenance. I mean, you were supposed to change the plugs at like about 90,000 if it's regular service. And I think Ford is 60,000 miles for severe service on that 5.4. So you've already done the normal maintenance, right?
I bought it with about 100,000 on it, so I can't guarantee the plug. I haven't done them. So plugs, what else would you suggest?
You need to go there first, probably.
Yes, you need to put plugs in it.
Yeah.
Plugs can be a problem in that engine. So you need to have a competent shop do those plugs.
Yeah, because even the best shop in the world, because of the design, if it's still got the one-piece shell plugs in, if they've got 120 and they've never been changed, there's carbon buildup around them. That can actually lock that shell in the head, and you can end up needing special equipment to pull the shell out. Or if it comes apart, you can end up having to pull the entire head. Ford was saying 90 to 100,000-mile spark plug lives. Back in the mid-2000s with the Tritons, then it dropped to 60 and 90 for severe and normal service. Although the reality is all of us drive severe service. There's almost no one in Oklahoma that drives what the companies consider normal service. And you do not want to dawdle on the plugs on the Triton family.
There's a procedure you can follow that makes it easier, but it takes, you'll have to keep the car overnight and everything else. So find somebody that really knows what they're doing. Yeah.
It's something a regular, I do some of my own stuff, but I'm not an expert mechanic by any means. Is it something just a general guy can?
I wouldn't tackle it.
Not the plugs.
No down to you at all, but we've seen these things that, well, a year before they got some tools out, we've seen them that take 6-8 hours.
Yeah, I mean, if everything goes perfect, it's a 3-plus-hour job, and that's after letting it sit overnight, vacuuming out the spark plug holes, putting a quarter tablespoon of penetrating oil in each hole, backing them out a quarter turn at a time, and adding oil as necessary. And that's if they all come out. Yeah. And they don't always. And you may have one break off, or you may have 4 or 5 break off, and then you've got to have special tools to try and remove the shell, which work most of the time. But if they don't, then the head's got to come off. So it's a design issue, and thankfully there are plugs out now that are one piece that don't seem to have this problem. But and I'm not even getting into, you've got aluminum heads with aluminum threads, and if they've been in too long, you could have galling because the coating, the anti-seize breaks down over time with the hot-cold cycles. Threads come out, then you've got to put a replacement insert in there. It can be a nightmare.
Yeah.
All right, Jimmy, hope that helps you out there.
Good luck.
Give you some help with that. 753, you're listening to Wheels on News 102.3 KRMG. 7:56, back with Wheels here on this Saturday morning. I'm Denver Fox. Hey, reminds you, Alan Storjahan will be broadcasting live from the Green Country Home Garden Show starting at 9 o'clock this morning. From 9 to noon, in fact, several of our Ask the Expert shows will be broadcast from the Home and Garden Show out at Expo Square. So go by and say, hey, get some good free advice from them, as well as all of the exhibitors out there as well with all their specific expertise that you could see out there. So Home and Garden Show, someone will win $500 today and tomorrow that goes in and registers. So go by and do that if nothing else. All right, final minutes here on the Wheel Show. And one of the things we talk about as far as maintenance is keeping your headlamps clean, and the PC41 Plus Headlamp Restoration Kit, real easy way to do that. And I know, Troy, you guys do it at Cecil & Son Discount Tires. You'll do it for folks, or you'll sell them the kit and let people do it themselves.
Absolutely. As with many things in life, if you read the instructions, it's not too difficult to do. You just need to allow yourself some time. If you don't want to tackle it, we're happy to do it for you. And, you know, either way, the stuff works, and it works well.
Yeah, and you got a good deal on rebates for Goodyear tires now.
Goodyear and Monroe running rebates right now. Monroe through the end of this month. Goodyear runs into March, so you got a little time on that. But open till 3 today. Got alignment and brake techs on hand, oil changes, tires, any kind of maintenance you need. Happy to take a look at it for you at any of our three locations.
Well, worth the drive over to Sand Springs or to Sepulpa for Cecil & Son Discount Tires. And you want to get more information about converting your vehicle to CNG, Tom's got all the info that you need to know, as well as the PC41 Plus. You just do that as part of your regular fleet maintenance program, don't you?
You betcha. The PC41 is one of our gifts. You know, when you're on the fleet maintenance, we do it for you. And I've got some semi-trucks to do here next week. And those guys are going to be shocked when they see how much it makes a difference in their life to bring those headlights back on.
Yeah, it's a good deal.
Probably the most important thing you can do to your car.
Yeah, for
next to changing oil.
Well, that's true. And it's darker now, the more dark. If you drive at night, you need all the headlight that you can get coming out there. Besides, it just looks a little better.
It does. Yeah.
All right, guys. Great, great show. Have a good, good weekend. The news is next on KRMG.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.